Good to see you today. Always good to be in the Lord's house. Again, this is Stewardship Month, February, and all of you know all about this, but I just remind you that next Sunday morning we'll be taking the first faith promise commitments. We'll be taking up. You'll be getting a card like we already. We'll pass them out, and you fill out your commitment for faith promise for another year. And again, this is to support our missionaries. This is how our missionaries are supported, through faith promise. Does anyone in here need a paper to talk about to help you understand what faith promise is? Anybody? If you need one, if you want one, it'll be up here on the pew before, after Sunday school, if you'd like to get one, okay? So anyway, just remind, this is another step of faith. You know, the Christian life is a life of faith, is it not? It's faith to trust Christ. It's faith to live after we are saved. And faith promise is just trusting God to enable you to give to missions. And the only way you give to missions is through the local church. And the plan here is through faith promise. You make a promise to God, not to the church, but to God. And if God provides the needs, well, you give it. And God will bless you for doing that. I promise you, God will do his part. I promise you that, if we'll just do our part. And what a blessing it is to be part of a program that's supporting missionaries around the world, around the world. People need support. People need love. And people need to know that we do care for them, especially our missionaries today. Okay, take your Bibles today as we continue our study on faithfulness. Faithfulness. We're talking about being faithful to God, to His house, and to His Word. And today we come to our favorite subject, the faithfulness in giving. Faithfulness in giving. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8 today, as we focus on faithfulness in giving. And again, it's good to see Brother Glenn back in the house. He called me yesterday about noon. He had got home, and it's good to see him back. I know Miss Berger's glad to give you home. And she bless her heart. She's been there all the time with him in the hospital, but she looks refreshed this morning, like she's got a good night rest. Poor chance. But good to see you all over here today. Let's pray. Father, we commit now this time to you, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, without you, we have no time. But Lord, we want to give this time to you now, Lord, for the reading and studying your word. I pray, God, you would just speak to our hearts as your children. We thank you for each one this year. We ask you now, Lord, may the word of God find its way in our hearts and our lives, and Lord, to refresh us, to remind us, and God, to help us to be instructed, Lord, from your word as how we should live our life for you. Bless those that are out, those that are hurting, Lord. May you have your will and way in their hearts and lives. Now lead us in all we do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see, first of all, in talking about faithfulness in giving, that there is a proper order and a priority in giving. A proper order and a priority in giving. If our priority is not right, our giving will not be right. We have to have a priority in giving. Why do we give, you know? Today, the world wants pleasure. And the world is seeking pleasure. And that's all they are seeking. They're seeking possessions, positions, you know, and power. And all these things, are good in one way, but at the end, they're going to be worthless. They'll come to nothing at the end, you see. So we want to focus on the proper order and the priority in giving today. So first of all, let's look in Mark chapter number 8. I want to begin reading with verse number 34. In verse number 33, we see that God has just rebuked Satan, rebuked Peter. In verse 34, it said, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it. Jesus speaks a lot about saving and losing. Saving and losing. In verse 36, he says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a big question, is it not? What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Well, he's putting a big price on a soul, isn't he? That's a big price. A soul is more valuable than the whole world. That's a valuable thing we see here. He says in verse 37, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me in my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." We see here, as we look at the first order of business with God for anybody, what do you think the first order of business for God for anybody is? Salvation. Salvation. First of all, when it comes to faithfulness and giving, we see here, first we must be saved. We must know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You know, God doesn't need our money. God doesn't even need us. But God blesses us with things in this life that we can have to obtain things that we need in this life. So we see the first order of business here with God, for anybody, is to be saved. We see here also, the Bible tells us here, that God doesn't want anyone to think that he can buy God's favor. God is the same with everybody. The rich, the poor, it doesn't matter who they are. God loves everybody the same. And we can't buy a favor from God by what we give or what we do, because God loves us anyway. God doesn't want us to think that. The only message that God wants us to give is to the unsaved, and it's the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's our co-mission, I should say, is to do that. So we said in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, the Bible tells us, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." That's what we are to be telling people, the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, when it comes to faithfulness and giving, first of all, we must be saved. We must be saved. That's the most important thing to God. And it should be the most important thing to us. But you know, as we go around in the world today and see people, there's so many people that are hurting. And most people that are hurting, a lot of them are lost. But you know, as Brother Alford said, go to the rest homes, go to nursing homes and visit people and be thankful. Be thankful. You know, we're finding out, as you go out visiting, I'm sure you find out, if you ever visit a rest home and in the world too, those people in the rest home, a larger percentage of those people in that rest home that are hurting, a larger percentage of those people know Jesus as their Savior. But you get out here in the world when people aren't hurting, a larger percentage of those people are not saved, and they don't have a desire to be saved. Isn't that a good contrast, you know? How God works through sometimes things that happen to us in our lives to bring us to Christ, you know, because he loves us, because he loves us. God is an amazing God. He really is. So first of all, we must be saved. Secondly, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to use familiar verses today. We're talking about faithfulness and giving. You know, it's a blessing to be able to give. It really is. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about other things too. We're going to mention today here in our text as we go through this. First of all, we must be saved when it comes to giving and being faithful to give. Secondly, we must give ourselves to the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Very familiar verses. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." It's just reasonable to give your bodies to Christ. Give your lives to Christ, you see. That means lay aside our desires. That's giving our bodies to Christ, our desires. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, our desires will possess us rather than wanting to do God's will for our lives, you see. Because there's so much in this world today to create a desire in us to want to do and want to be and want to go and all these things, you see, rather than putting God first in our life. But God, Paul tells us here, he says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies. When we reflect back on the mercy of God and how God reached down and saved us by His grace, how can we but help give our bodies to Christ? All He's done for us, we can do anything. All we can do, and it's very small in comparison to what He's done for us. So we see here, He's talking about giving ourselves, giving our bodies because of the mercies of God as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, you see, putting our energy to God's disposal and not ourselves, you see. Doing what God wants me to do rather than what I want to do. Have you ever been in a situation that you wanted to do something and you started out headed towards that, and for some reason God directed you another way to do something, and down deep in yourself the flesh was saying, why did this happen? I wanted to do something else, you know? But on the other way, you're doing something that God is leading you to do. Let me give an example. My neighbor, Friday afternoon, about dark, he come to my house, ring my doorbell, and he come in the house, and his wife was in the hospital. And she had a stroke earlier that morning, and she wasn't doing good. He come to tell us to pray for her. And well, we got good neighbors. Thank God for them. But anyway, I said, okay. And of course, I knew she was going to be in the hospital, we thought, for a few days. She had a stroke. And she had a blood clot in her brain. And all that. But anyway, so Saturday morning, of course, I had to come work on the radio. And after I got the radio and everything, my wife and I were going to plan to go by and see her at the hospital. And so after I got home, we had a few things to do. And we said, I would go to the hospital later on in the afternoon. We were going to take her something. We got to the hospital, and she had been discharged. So, Lord, what is this all about? You know, we come down here to see her. She's in the hospital. And so we started walking out of the hospital, and we got to the front door going out of the hospital. We saw somebody that we knew come hopping in with no shoe on this foot, hopping in with a bad foot. And so, of course, my wife and I went out and tried to help that person come in and got to the emergency room and waited for the doctors. You know how it is in a waiting room. You just sit there, you know, and wait. That's why they call it waiting room. But anyway, we waited there for a while, and finally they got her, you know, back to call her back, and my wife went back with her. In the meantime, when we went to the hospital, I forgot to tell you, we took some flowers for our neighbor, and I'm standing there like a man with a bowl of flowers. You know? And so I sat down in the waiting room, I sat on the desk there. And there's another guy beside us there, him and his son, I found out. He had cut his hand, and he was there to have something to look at of that. And he was back and forth, this man was. He come back and sat down and says, that's a pretty base of flowers you got there. I said, yeah, it sure is. As I said, we brought it to our neighbor, and she's been discharged. So we're going to do something with it. I don't know what we're going to do with it. Anyway, got to talking to this man and his son, and I found out they were Christians, and all waiting for Miss, you know, this lady to be saw and all. And finally, my wife came back out, and she says, why don't you take the flowers to our neighbor and come back, because I'm going to be here for a while with this person. So I did that. I went to see my neighbor, and she was home, and she was shocked she was home herself. But anyway, I saw her, visited her, had prayer with her, and I came back to the hospital. Make a long story short, what I'm saying, God directed us in a way that we didn't anticipate going, okay, to help somebody. And so, you know, we stayed, Marianne stayed for this person, got out of the hospital, and she went home with her and all that, take care of all that. But see, we have plans to do something else after visiting the hospital, visiting our neighbor. But God had other plans for us, you know, and sometimes that's the way God works out. See, things in our life. And it was for our good. It was for our good, you see. Because, listen, I don't need to always do what I want to do. It ain't good for me always to do what I want to do. I need to be focusing on what God wants me to do, you know, in my daily life. He said, beseech us, you know, our brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know, you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. So we find out yesterday, God's will for our lives was not what we wanted to do, but what he wanted us to do, you know. So that's a blessing. So giving ourselves to the Lord. God wants our hearts, folks. He wants our hearts. If we surrender our life to the Lord, everything else will be in right order. When we surrender our hearts to the Lord, he wants us to know, he wants us to be new people with renewed minds every day, to focus on his will. So we're talking about faithfulness and giving. First, we must be saved, and we must give ourselves to the Lord. We must give ourselves to the Lord. Now, in Malachi, turn back to Malachi, chapter number 3. We must give ourselves, we must be saved, we must give ourselves, and then we also see we must give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. Malachi chapter number 3, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, for will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed God? In tithes and offerings. Now we know he's speaking to Christians here. Christians rob God. He says, you are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Even this whole nation. You know, it's sad to say today, the number of Christians today that are robbing God. They're robbing God because they don't give their tithes and offerings to God. And the sad thing is, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself when you don't give to God. You know, when you give, you know this, you cannot outgive God. No matter how much God gives you, you know, you can't outgive God. You cannot give God. Notice in verse number 10, bring you all the what? Tithes into the storehouse, being the church, that there may be meal, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now that's wonderful to know, that if I tithe to God, God's going to open the windows of heaven and he's going to pour out a blessing upon me because I give to him. Isn't that wonderful to know? It's wonderful to know that. And what a blessing it is to know that. But notice something else. Notice the next verse. The next verse is very important too. Verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. In other words, if you give to me what you are to give to me, God says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. Who is the devourer? That's Satan, is it not? He says, I'm going to rebuke him from you for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, God says, if you give your tithes and offerings to me, Satan is not going to have control. Satan is going to leave you alone. Satan is going to be bothering you less, is what he's saying, because you are giving to me faithfully. So we see tithes and offerings. We give to the Lord, how? Through the local church. Through the local church. That's how we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. We see an offering is giving above a tithe. A tithe, we know, is 10%. An offering is whatever God lays on your heart to give to the Lord. He says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, he says. Ye robbed me, he says, wherein ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings to the Lord. Now, how to give? How are we to give our tithes and offerings? First of all, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9, write it down, we don't have time to read it. We're to give according to our income. We're to give according to our income. The first fruits belong to God. The first fruits. Not after the government gets his part. The first fruits, you know, whatever that may be, that belongs to God. We're to give freely. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, the Bible tells us we're to give freely. We're to want to give to God. Freely give to God. we're to give regularly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, we're to bring our tithes and offerings to God's house. The first day of the week is what? Tell me. Sunday. We're to give regularly. I know some people get paid monthly, some people get paid every 2 weeks. But anyway, we're to give regularly to the Lord. Also, we're to give cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 7, cheerfully, with a cheerful heart, having a joy in our heart to give to God, because God has given to us. God has given to us. Now, not only are we to give our tithing offerings, we're to give to missions. We're to give to missions. Missionaries. Again, we support missionaries. Fellowship Baptist Church supports missionaries through faith promise giving. Faith promise giving. Now, this is not tithes. This is not offerings. This is another offering. This is another offering, you see. Giving above that. And so we see we're to give to missions this way. We give to missions two different ways. February, we have missionaries come through here to visit our church every Sunday night normally. These missionaries, some we support, some we don't. If we support them, they're coming, updating us what God's doing for their work, through their work. Okay? Now, when they come here, they come and present the work. If we are supporting them annually at the church, that's good. We should. But that missionary that comes here, they got expenses to get here. They got transportation. They got places to stay. They got a lot of things to deal with. So we're to give on Sunday nights to these missionaries to help them to get to their next destination. You know, you'd be surprised, the missionaries that go from church to church, how little they get. How little they get to go to the next place. I'm grateful to know that this church is a giving church to missionaries. And you know, because you see on the prayer list every week, how much people here give to missionaries, even just to get to the next point. And that's why God has blessed this church, folks, because we give to missionaries. Not only that way, but we give a regular financial missionary offering every quarter. There are so many missionaries that are paid, and right on through the whole year, 100 missionaries. About 25 missionaries are paid every quarter. You know, their full amount, whatever it is, every year. And this is how we support when we give to missionaries. So it's very important to give our tithes and offerings. Faithfulness in giving. Giving ourselves. Get saved first. Give ourselves to the Lord, you see, and then give to our tithing offers and give to missions. And then we see giving our time to help others. You know, it doesn't take much time to give our tithes and our offerings and our faith promise, does it? How much time does that take? Very little, right? We write a check, we get the cash, we put it in, it's done. That's wonderful and that's good. But we ought to realize, you know, if this is all we do, we're living our life for self. We're living our life for self. If all I give is my tithes, my offerings, and my faith promise, if I give nothing else to people or to God, I'm living my life for myself. I'm a very selfish person, see. We need to give our time. Our time. What is our time? Tell me. It's our what? Our life. Our life. Our time is our life, you see. And we need to be giving more of our time. What does this do when we give our time? It shows the character of Christ in our life. What Christ is to us when we give our time for the Lord. See, Christ gave himself to help who? Everybody, did he not? He gave himself to help everybody. He spent his life helping others. He healed them. He fed them. He did all kinds of things for people. He gave his time while he was here. That 3.5 years of his ministry, while he was here, he gave his life. He gave his time in helping us. He spent his time. Giving of our time is something I'm afraid that is lacking today in the lives of most of us as Christians. We're so busy with ourselves. We're so busy making a living and getting what we want to get that we have less time to do something for God. Now, is anybody in here can say, I'm not too busy? I think we all are. We're all too busy. Now, what are we busy doing? That's the question. What are we busy doing? Are we doing for ourselves? Are we doing for others? Are we doing for the Lord? That's something we need to think about, folks. Giving. Giving our time. Giving our time. Few people today have time to help. Few people today have time to help. You go to the emergency rooms, and you see people come in there, I mean in bad shape. Literally bad shape. There's people who need help. They need help. And you know, I said to the lady last night, walked to the desk, you know, I really appreciate you and all you do trying to help people get in and get able to get help they need. Listen, that's not an easy task. When you deal with all kinds of people, all nationalities of people, that's a big job, folks. To get people checked in and get them where they can see a doctor or something like that, that's not an easy job. But you know, they give themselves. You see, few of us today have time to help. God loves a cheerful giver, doesn't he? But listen, that's just not about money. That's about helping people. About helping people that need help. Do you know somebody today that needs help? I think we all do, don't we? Well, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? You see, giving, faithful giving involves helping other people too. Involves helping other people too. People in need or hurting need to know that you care and that I care. And the only way they're going to do that is when we give them our time. We give them our time, you see. Nothing shows we care like giving our time to people. Giving our time to people. They show that we show them that we care because we sacrifice some things that we want to do to help them. To help them in our life. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse number 15, it says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Amen? We like that, don't we? Huh? Nod your heads. We like that. Rejoice with them that rejoice. But also the latter part of that verse says, and weep with them that weep. That's care for those that are hurting. Weep for those that are weeping. I'm afraid today there's a world out there that's weeping. And I wonder sometimes, do we as Christians really care? Do we really care? Do we really care? May the Lord teach us the thing about giving ourselves to his work. Turn to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We're talking about faithfulness in giving. Giving. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at verse number 1. If I can get there, my Bible's all stuck together. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. We're talking about being giving. We're talking about giving of our hearts. Giving of our hearts. Look at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, as Paul says, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of who? Themselves. They were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And notice, and they did this, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own what? Selves. They gave their own selves, first of all, to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we see here, giving our hearts to the Lord enables us to be able to give to other people. You see what he wants. We also giving of our time. First of all, give our hearts to God. Secondly, is give our time to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We're to give our time. Priorities are very important when it comes to giving. I said that to begin with. In Matthew chapter number 6, look at verse number 33. The Bible says, but Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Priorities in giving were to turn ourselves over for his help. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? We're to seek God, first of all, for help. And then we're to fill our thoughts with his desires. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fill our thoughts with his desires, not mine, but what is God's desire for me in my life, you see. So we see about giving of our time, a priority in line with God's will, is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the things in life will be added unto us that we need. What a blessing it is to know that God knows your need and God knows my need. And he will supply that need. He will supply that need. We also see an investment in our time. We invest our time wisely. We keep our standards high. High. We need to do that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible tells us here about speaking our standards high. Look at verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. The days are evil. We're to invest our time wisely, you see. Keep our standard high. And then we must recognize in giving our time that life is brief. Life is brief. Over in the book of James, the Bible tells us about life, how brief it really is. In James chapter number 4, James chapter number 4 talks about how brief life is. James 4 verse 14, the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? James says, it's even a vapor. What is a vapor? A vapor, that's something that comes and goes fast, right? Your life is even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. If you live to be 100 years old, life is very brief compared to eternity. It's very brief, you see. We need to live for God each day, folks. That when life ends, whenever life ends, we'll have fulfilled God's plan for our life. That's the only way to fulfill God's plan for your life, is to live each day for God. Each day. And then when life is over, you'll know that you have completed God's plan for your life. But if we don't do it daily, it's not going to be that way when we get to the end of our life, you see. So we need to give our hearts, give our time, give our talents to the Lord. Give our talents to the Lord. Stewardship, we know, deals with the management of something that even does not belong to us. It actually belongs to God. But he gives us these things to manage, you see. And he does it for his glory. For his glory, you see. Having gifts, we all have different gifts in here in this room today, but we need to give to God, you see. However, we know that regardless today of what you have been given and what I have been given, every one of us as stewards are tested by the same way, by the same standard, I should say. Now, how are we measured as stewards in how we manage what we do? The standard is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is very important. See, it's not the size of our ministry that counts, but it is what we do, what we've been entrusted with. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to God's house, faithfulness to God's word, and faithfulness in giving. Well, all measures the same way. It's all in by faithfulness. That's our theme this month, faithfulness. We see here. May God help us and teach us about giving. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. We see here when it comes to the way we use our money is a measure of our commitment to Christ, how we use our money. In 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 17, the Bible says this, "But whosoever hath the world's goods, but whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him." Notice the question, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Isn't that a good question? That's a good question. If you have something and you see a brother or sister that has a need, and you shut your bowels, you don't do nothing about it, do you really love God? Do you really love God? That's what he says. That's what he says right here. How we use our money is a measure of our commitment to Christ. How we use what God's given us, you see. The late Dr. Curtis Hudson said this one time. He says, we can't fake the way we use our money and possessions. We can't fake the way we use it because people are going to see it, right? Our wallet reveals more about our character and our walk with the Lord than what we think. Our wallet. Do we give to God or do we hold it for ourselves? You know. This is our character. It's measured through our giving. Why should we give? It brings glory to God. Amen? We should give because giving builds faith. Faith in God, and faith in His Word, and faith in even ourselves. Giving also develops a concern for others in our lives. Not just be so selfish with ourselves, you see. Giving also brings God's blessings upon us. Faithfulness in giving. Giving also to God is eternal. It's not temporal. It's not temporal. So we see it's very, very important today if we focus on this subject of being faithful in giving to God. Faithful in giving our time, our talents, our treasures, all these things that God gives us. Folks, it's not just about money. It's not just about money. People will know we care if we give them our time. If we give them our time. You know, you go to the rest homes and you visit people and you give your time to go there. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll go to a rest home or go visit somebody that's sick, go there with the right heart and attitude, you'll come away rejoicing because you went. You'll come away rejoicing. It's not a matter of just going because they're sick. It's a matter of just going, being in their presence and they're seeing you, talking to you. They're glad to see you. They're glad to see you. I thank God for the opportunity He's given us to be faithful in giving. God help me to be faithful in giving. Father, we thank you today for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that instructs us in our life how we're to live. And God, we're thankful, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to give to you, to others. And God, how you have so blessed us because you've given us that heart to give. Not just materially, but Lord, in so many ways, we can't count them. But Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give. Father, I know these people here today, they give. They give sacrificially. And God, I pray you continue to bless them and help us, dear God, continue to be faithful in this matter of giving. Because we know you love a cheerful giver. Lord, we know, Lord, you want us to. And God, you bless us because we do it. Bless now, Lord, the next service. Have your will and way in the songs. Have your will and way in the message. Bless our preacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.